brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys.
Get ready to learn everything you ever wanted to know and a whole lot that you didn't. It's time for a Chats episode.
Hey man, I'm good old boy Barger, and with me today is Kevin Newman from Artista Cigars. Is it El Artista Cigars or is it Artista Cigars?
We dropped the L.
That's just what I Artista. Thought. Last time I said that to Nathan, he was like, it's actually El Artista. And I was like, shut up, Nathan. Box says Artista.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not wrong.
Well, no, he's not wrong, but he's not right either.
That's correct.
So, I win.
The gringos can say El Artista for the most part.
That's right. So. That's like El Nino, you know?
Right.
Spanish for the Nino.
El Nino.
I'm El Nino. I love it. Well, listen, for our listeners, this is one of our Chats episodes. Thank you guys for joining us. This is where we're going to get to know the manufacturers and the faces behind the cigars that you like to smoke. Or maybe you don't like to smoke because you've never had them. Anyway, we're going to talk about some fun things and topics, get you to know, and we're blind tasting him on a cigar right now that I'm smoking as well with him, and we're going to reveal that at the end where he doesn't know what it is. So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned at the top, my name is Kevin Newman. I'm Vice President of Artista Cigars.
Where are they based out of?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Just happened to be the largest tobacco leaf grower in the DR.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been doing about 70 years. Not me personally, but.
Yeah. I knew you were getting up there in age, but yeah, man. Well, Lord.
Can you imagine?
So, you guys are farm, aging, rolling, everything in-house?
Yeah. Vertically integrated from soil all the way out to shelf. Yeah.
Okay. And what region are you guys in?
Well, we have 120 farms across two continents.
Okay.
So
that's pretty big.
Yeah, DR and Ecuador.
Okay. Well, cool, man. Well, cool. So tell us a little bit about where did you find your love for cigars? What started you on this journey?
It's kind of wild, actually. So when I was in college, I didn't do any drugs. I didn't really drink, but just I was a pretty clean kid. But I got an interest in tobacco, but I didn't want to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
So I was over at the Chevron down by my house, and I saw a pack of what looked like very good cigars called Swisher Sweets.
Oh.
Yeah,
wood hot.
Dip. Yeah, buddy. So I lit those up, and they were all right, but my lips kept getting all numb and full of tar. And at the time, I was washing cars for a living. That's what I was doing through college.
All right.
And one of my clients, and they all happen to be like really high-end folk. You know, I wouldn't say they're rich, but they're just driving really nice cars. And one of the guys saw me smoking a Swisher, and he goes, you got to put that down. I'm like, oh, you don't want me around your car with it? He says, no, uh-huh. No, that's not it at all. That's not very good. I see that you're smoking cigar, but let's get you a real cigar.
Yeah.
So he got me a couple really nice cigars, which was nice, but I didn't really know what they were. And ultimately, what they were Upmans.
Okay.
From Cuba.
Ooh, H. Upman, man. I love H. Upmans.
I didn't know what I had in my hand, man.
Yeah.
So, again, keep smoking these cigars. And I continued to smoke for about 10 years. And didn't know much about the business. You know, I'd read the Cigar Aficionado every once in a while when I'd be at the dentist or the doctor's office. And I was out of work because, you know, the economy fell apart in 2009. Sure. And I was looking for a job. And a job posting came up for Phillips and King and Cretec.
Okay.
And they just happened to be the largest wholesale distributor of tobacco products in the U.S. And they're 15 miles from my house.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I got into the industry, man.
Thanks. And then it's just been uphill ever since, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's been it's been amazing. The industry kind of mimics the people that work in it.
Sure.
I think that's true in almost any industry you're in. The Latino culture is very open, very welcoming, yeah, very warm. Sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a chat.
Yeah. I was just at a Latino Christmas party last night. And, you know, me and my wife, and there was another couple. There was another two or three couples that were non-Latino. And it was just so funny listening to all of them talk. And you want empanadas? You want this? You want this? I'm like, yeah, I'll eat all that.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, let's go. I'm down. So that was pretty fun.
I felt very welcomed into an industry that I didn't know much about other than that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I think that love of it spoke volumes to the people that were running the things, all the factories.
So what was it that made you latch on and say, this is my ticket? This is what I love. Because like you said, it was just a hobby until you got into the job. And then the money's the obvious. I'm sure you get paid well to do what you want to do. But the thing is what, you know, aside from being paid or not paid, what was it about the culture and the all around people that you fell in love with? What made you fall in love with it?
It instantly became a family for me. I come from kind of a messed up background, familial,
sure,
you know, like family wise. My folks tried real hard to make sure everything felt normal, but it just wasn't around my house. So when I walked into this industry, it felt like home to me. It wasn't a particular group of people that did that. It was the whole thing, from the sales guys to marketing, to the factories, to everybody.
Yeah.
It just felt like I was being embraced in a way that I wasn't in my previous career. Yeah. I started out in finance, which is like, you know, a cold embrace.
Sure.
It was totally different. And the money's not great. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like we're all getting
a millionaire. No, for sure.
But there's something more than money when you're in a career.
Yeah.
And that longevity, the thing that keeps you coming back, mm-hmm, usually isn't the dollar.
Right. It's the relationships.
It's the relationships, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's important, too. You know, that's almost the most important part is the relationships. And I think that, you know, without the relationships that we've had with our podcast, like, we wouldn't be where we are. You know, we try to take care of people and we try to be honest with people. And I think the honesty goes a long way. Like, I'm not just going to give you some rating and tell you that, oh, your cigar is great just because I want a cigar. No, I'll go buy a cigar. You know, I enjoy your cigars because I enjoy you as a person. Like, I enjoy you as, like, I don't even have to like the cigar, you know, because you could find something about any cigar that you like, and you could find something about any cigar that you don't like. And, then, you know, we all know taste is subjective. So it's interesting to me just how relational this business is. And it's almost, aside from product, it's 85%, in my opinion, relational.
100%. I agree with you on that. I mean, we met each other just last year.
Yeah.
For the first time, you're sitting down in our booth.
Yeah.
I mean, we're busy at PCA, but I'm not too busy to sit down and talk with somebody. Right. It doesn't matter who you are, right? Yeah. And how long did we talk for? Like 45 minutes, an hour?
We sat there for like an hour drinking rum and talking.
Just talked about video games, cars. Yeah, we talked a little bit about cigars, but that was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was awesome. And that's kind of what made me, that, you know, that's one of the, I had been smoking the Buffalo 10 and a couple others, like the Paper Boys, before the PCA. You know, those were cigars that I smoked that you guys manufacture beforehand. So I didn't know you guys from Adam, though. And when I came in, it was just like, hey, man, I love this. Like, we did a thing on this. And once it was, you know, got to talking to you guys, and you guys were like just down to earth. You know, especially Ram, is it?
Ram.
How do you pronounce it?
It's Radames, but we call him Ram.
Ram, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Super chill dude, man. You got me to sit down and talk with him for an hour, too.
Yeah.
And that dude is just all about video games. I love it. I can't
Super
wait.
Super Smash Bros.
Dude, dog. I can't wait to go down there and just, like, get on in some Smash Brothers. Because I'm terrible at it. If I bring my son with me, though, he might put up a fight. You know,
it's trickery.
That's right. So, I'm going to be reading some questions here. Not super enjoyable questions, but
wonderful.
One of my main questions is, with all the stress and all the things that are in the industry, where do you find joy?
This right here, man. I mean, not to kiss your butt or blow smoke,
no, sure.
But literally this. I mean, I came down, I landed in Nashville, what, Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. About a week ago. And I've been in Nashville and Dixon, and then I went down to Tupelo, Mississippi,
yeah.
Starkville. I've been all over, and it's a grind. I mean, these are 12-hour days.
Yeah.
But it's the shaking the hands, hearing the stories, talking with people.
Yeah.
That's where I find the joy, man. Last night, I met a kid from Morocco. He's a PhD candidate over at MSU.
Okay, Murray State?
Yeah. Mississippi State.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right, man.
I went to Murray State.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And he's living the American dream. He got here in 2019, and he's about to graduate with a PhD in aerospace engineering.
That's cool.
That's very cool. And he wants to live in the United States, stay here, and do work for the U.S.
Really?
To help us do great work. I wouldn't have known that kid if it wasn't for the cigar industry.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about cigars. We were talking about him.
That's awesome.
That's what gives me joy, man. I love the stories.
Yeah. You know? No, I find the same. I find the very same thing all the time. We're going to take a quick break here just shortly. Have a word from a sponsor or maybe a word from me. You never know what's going to pop up. Anyway, you guys enjoy and we'll be right back.
And crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
And we're back with Two Bros, One Stick. I mean, a Chats episode. Thank you for returning with us. Sitting with me is Kevin Newman from Artista Cigars. So tell me something interesting about yourself. Tell me something I don't know.
I grew up in a restaurant. I started my
first... You lived in the restaurant?
Well, pretty much. I mean, like, my bed was about 7 miles away.
It's like a Steve Martin jerk kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
He hates cans.
Right. He hates these cans. No, I grew up in a restaurant and... from about the age of 8 to 18, I assisted my folks in our family restaurant. That's how we made money. And I learned how to wash dishes real well. But one thing I did that was kind of cool is I helped my dad Sunday mornings do all the prep cook.
Okay, for the week?
Well, more like for the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Veggies and whatnot?
Yeah, eggs, veggies, the whole thing. So
for sure.
Get up at 5 in the morning, get to the restaurant by 7. Everything's fired up by 7:30 and the door's open.
Cooking away.
And just do it, yeah. And from that base, I've become a pretty good cook.
Yeah?
Yeah. It actually helps me in the cigar industry, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, so when we're in the blending room, I kind of think of like, okay, this is the salt.
Okay.
This is the garlic, and here's our mirepoix over here in the corner. And
okay.
We're going to put this together. And you know what a mirepoix is?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. It's French.
Oh, oui.
Yeah, it's a combination of three vegetables. There's different types of mirepoix, but you've got a celery, you got a carrot, and you got an onion.
Okay.
You put that together, and that's a mirepoix, and that'll be your base for like a soup or a stew or some sort of sauce. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I learned something new today.
So that's something about me, man. I love to cook, and I really, really do enjoy it. I got photos on my phone. It's kind of like my...
Yeah?
You know, some guys got pictures of feet like you do.
Well, I mean, you weren't supposed to say that out loud.
Oh, man. You can edit that out, right?
Yeah, we'll try.
Banned once again.
That's right. Hashtag feed finders. What?
Mm-hmm. Well.
We'll take them advertisement dollars, though. So let me ask... So let me ask you something here. If you give me your top five cigars.
Top five?
Top five.
Oh, my gosh. So most guys have a top five. Like, they're staple of cigars that they smoke all the time. I smoke everything. That's the thing. So I know you guys are going to keep this episode for a long time in your back catalog, and I apologize to the audience in advance.
I don't. They'll figure it out.
Well, right now what I'm smoking, and I'm probably sure like a lot of your folks will be confused because I'm not going to mention Artista cigars while I'm talking about these other cigars, because Artista cigar is a good cigar, but it's just not what I'm rotating out of my humidor.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
it's because you send them to my humidor.
Yeah, I send a lot of cigars everywhere. I will check that, though. Probably in the top five, I'm going to put the Pulita 60th Anniversario because it's actually really good.
Really?
Yeah. I'm smoking a lot of that.
Okay, I don't think I've had that one yet.
Yeah. I think I gave you a bundle of it.
Then I will smoke that.
Yeah.
I haven't smoked it, but I will. This is actually my first cigar in 2 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You've not been
I got, yeah. You know, I went to my family's place, or not my family. My family lives in Kentucky. My wife's family lives in Oklahoma, so... We went to Oklahoma and did Thanksgiving and Christmas over Thanksgiving, and they didn't let me know they were sick before we went. And so I got there and was welcome to bronchitis for Thanksgiving. Hooray.
Some guys get a turducken.
That's right. Some guys get turkey and dressing. You get bronchitis. That's right. So what else? You got four more to go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. If you could only smoke these cigars for the rest of your life.
These are always the funniest questions I get.
I know, but come on, you got to have something.
Marlboro Red, Camel Light.
Yeah, Camel Light. Quit it, you're making me cough.
So, I'm not going to order them because that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you know, but I'm let's not just telling throw you to rank them, just put five in there.
The Davidoff Colorado Claro.
Oh, that's a great cigar.
One of my favorite cigars, man.
That thing ages really well.
It's incredible.
So I've had one, a buddy of mine's the rep for Davidoff, and he's got a whole bunch of vintage Davidoff stuff that he's just saved over the years. And, you know, he'll start bringing them out, and the cellophane's orange.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had one of them. It was more so, man, that puppy gets good with some age on it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that Davidoff to do that because of how mild they are in their flavor profile. But it's so interesting in how the flavor opens up. I've only had a couple of them that have been that vintage, 10 years plus age in the cellophane, that really just didn't have much flavor at all. But off the list of ones that I've had and the list of ones that I haven't had, you know, that the ones that didn't have any flavor were very like 2 out of 20, you know. So what else?
I've been smoking a lot of Charter Oak.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's from Maduro. Foundation,
that's
right?
That's from Foundation.
Yeah, that's a great cigar.
It's incredible.
And they just released another version of it that's double the price.
Yeah, it's a little bit more upscale on the packaging.
Yeah, they upscaled it on the packaging, and I don't know if they changed the blend or anything, but I haven't talked to them. I'd love to get them on, too.
But that cigar is incredible, man. Yeah. Maduro. I've smoked, probably on this trip, I've smoked like 6 or 7 of them.
Mm.
Yeah, it's wild. Beyond that, one of the cigars I smoked a lot when I was younger, when I started getting into cigars, was the Hoyo de Monterrey.
Okay.
The Connecticut, number two. Yeah,
in the red band?
Yeah, no.
Or
no,
is this the yellow band?
It's the yellow and the gold.
Yeah.
It's so good. I did smoke one on this trip. wasn't as good as I remember, but that's not the cigar's fault. I've smoked like 30 cigars on this trip, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30 cigars in 4 days. That's great. That's good.
It's been about 7. It's a marathon, but yeah. But I can't smoke in the rental car. Right? You can edit that.
All right, you got one more. Let's get one more.
One more. Well, there's a cigar from a long time ago.
Here it is.
Project 805.
Okay.
You ever smoke that cigar?
No.
There's probably about 4 people that listen to this podcast that know what I'm talking about.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay. A good cigar. It had Andullo in it. Are you familiar with Andullo?
Oh, it sounds French.
It's not. Well, no. Maybe it is. I don't know, but it's Dominican.
Like an Andouille sauce? For the,
yeah, that's exactly the right.
The roast beef?
The tobacco looks, it's a 6-foot-long Andouille.
Oh, okay.
You don't know about Andouille?
No, man, let's talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about Andouille.
I don't know everything about cigars. I'm just playing one
on
TV.
Well, you got to get down to the DR. This is the problem.
I'm down. All right? Like, you're telling
me we're
going to
bring you to
it.
The factory and grab you by that red beard and just drag you down
just,
there, man.
You're going to lick it. Lick that leaf.
Well, you could lick Andouille because it's chewing tobacco.
Ooh, I love it. Let's go.
Yeah. So what they do is Andouille isn't a tobacco as much as it is a process. And they grow these different types of species. The one that I used was Amarillo Parado. That's the species.
Okay.
It's like kind of a long, skinny leaf. Almost looks like a banana. And they take that. You take it right off. They cure it. And then they throw it into a thing called a yagua.
Okay.
Which I think you're familiar with what a yagua is.
A bucket?
Yeah. So
ish, it's a square tub that's long.
Well, or in this case, it's the palm tree husk.
Oh.
Yeah. It's about 6 feet long. And they take all the tobacco and they lay it in there. And they get it real wet. They hit it into boiling water to kill some of the fungus that might be on there. Yeah. And they wrap it with rope. I've got video of this. I could just send this to you.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah they lap it with the hemp twine or whatever, the rope.
Yeah, they wrap it up with the rope. Mm-hmm. And it just sits there and it ferments just like that. Yeah. That time and pressure cures that tobacco. It can be 12 months, 18 months, 24 months.
Sure.
But after it's done, they crack the yagua and they pull it out. And it's thick, oily, very rich tobacco.
Okay.
And they use it as chewing tobacco and pipe tobacco in the DR.
Hmm.
We put it into a cigar a long time ago.
Yeah, and called the 805?
Project 805.
Okay.
It's a canceled project with another company, but it was a good cigar.
I think you might have sent me some of those.
I think I did, yeah.
I need to look through my box. I've got so much stuff to go through.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was strong.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I kind of thought you'd throw that Psycho on there.
I always do that.
Yeah?
That's one thing I always say, yeah.
The Psycho?
Yeah, I think people are tired of it by now.
I think people are tired of it because they can't get them.
Yeah. Well, you can still get them. I mean, they're still available. They're out there.
Yeah?
Yeah. For those who don't know what we're talking about, you want to enlighten them?
Well, it was, to my understanding, it was a project that you did with a couple other guys in the early 2000s. And it was a 7-leaf, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's a good memory, man.
Yeah, 7-leaf cigar and called the Psycho 7.
Yeah.
And it was a hit with a lot of people, but not a hit enough with some people. And it didn't really take off like it should have.
Well, we did sell a million cigars.
Oh,
so
well,
that's
there
you
a
go. Good deal. It just wasn't a hit with management.
Oh, that's what it was.
It didn't strike the rhythm that they were looking for with their band.
Didn't play the David's chord for them.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, I don't think they've phased it out. You could still buy it.
Candy's still buying? Okay.
It's just, it wasn't the style that they were looking for that company. Yeah.
It was just a loud cigar.
It was a good cigar.
It was a good cigar. It still is a good cigar. I mean, I still got half a box at the house. It's a great cigar.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'm the K in Psycho. That's why we spelled it weird.
That's right. That's right. Not to, you know, not about his mental stability anymore, but.
Oh, and that cigar was completely named for me, man.
That's awesome. So you had said earlier you used to be a preacher.
Yeah, so I dabbled in it. I didn't grow up in a church.
It's not like witchcraft, you know? Well, I guess it could be if you dabble.
It depends. You get in some parts of the South, dog. Yeah. I mean, they got snakes.
Yeah. We're in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. about 16 years old, my buddy Will, still my best friend in the whole world. Still love you, Dan Guerin. You're my best friend, too, Bo. But Will invited me to church, the Assemblies of God. And I hit him. I just said, okay, let's go. And we started doing youth group. And then I started coming to church on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And leadership over there was like, hey, let's give you a microphone and see how you can do.
Horrible idea.
Right? The dumbest thing ever.
And I can only say that because I've been in those shoes as well. Mm-hmm. I've had the microphone before. Mm-hmm. It's like the wedding singer, you know, when he's like crying and he's like, I have the microphone, so you will listen to every damn word I have to say.
Do you really want to hurt That's me? Right. Yeah. Turns out I wasn't afraid of the microphone.
Oh, no, you weren't.
No, I actually kind of like it. So I went from kind of doing some Sunday school stuff to full on preaching to 300 kids at Skate Street in Ventura, California. Well, shout cool. out. Yeah, it was a fun ride.
So do you find that in that lifestyle coincides with the cigar industry a little bit?
Yeah, there's a lot of faith in the cigar industry.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. they living on it right there, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's definitely a following on both sides. And
yeah.
There's some diehards on both sides. But ultimately, it's all about relationships, communication, and love.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to just simplify it, distill it down to its component parts. Yeah. That's what it is, man.
Talking about distilling, huh? What do you like to drink?
I'm going to break your heart right here.
He is going to break my heart.
Yeah. Macallan 18. All day, every day. Yeah,
so you just tickled Mike's pink, but not, I mean, I'll drink it if it's there. Yeah, I'll drink it if it's there, but it's not my forte. It's too peaty.
Yeah, that's what I hear. A lot of guys who like the bourbon, they don't really like the peat, but I like that sting. I like the burn.
Mike's yelling at me, saying, there's no peat, but he doesn't know how sensitive I am.
Yeah, well... Lately, and thanks to you, I've been drinking a lot of that E.H. Taylor.
That's a good one, man. The small batch is great. The small
batch, yeah.
Did you open that single barrel?
I can neither confirm nor deny the now, existence of that single barrel.
Well, was it good?
It's always good.
Oh, there you go.
It's always good. Never really been a bourbon guy because out in California, it's kind of hard to find good bourbons. I can get you a tequila. I can get you 40 different types in about an hour. But out where I'm at, it's wine, tequila, and Grey Goose vodka. But finding real good bourbons, even whiskeys, is tough. Unless you go to a high-end bottle shop, and they're going to charge that high-end price.
Yeah,
I can get that small batch for about $1.50, $1.80 a bottle, and I just didn't want to pay that.
Yeah, that's way too much, man.
Right, especially when you see the prices out
here. The markup, dude, is so insane. Mm-hmm. Are you going to stock up on some stuff here, take it home with you?
Thought about it.
So there's a pretty good shop down the street here. About a mile down the road on the left is Main Street Wine and Spirits. They just had their bourbon day. So they've got a whole bunch of bourbons from all over.
We'll have to make a stop.
Oh, it's on Tuesday? Oh, I was wrong, folks. It's on Tuesday. But, you know, don't listen to me for the news because I'm going to let you down every time. But if you're still here on Tuesday, you can go sit outside and wait overnight with all the people and
camp out.
Get you a Pappy Van Winkle if you're first in line. You could, man. At retail, too. They retail everything on the Bourbon Day, which is actually pretty good. Their prices are, you know, for around here. So the problem that I have, and this is not a problem that I have found in the cigar industry yet, because we all know the three-tier system, right? Everything's 100% markup three times. So by the time it goes from the manufacturer, it's 100% markup to the wholesale. And the wholesale is 100% markup or more to the retail. And then the retail has to mark it up to make a profit. So there's your three tiers right there. So the same is with the alcohol industry is the same. And I know because I've worked in the alcohol industry and I've delivered this alcohol and I've seen the price of these Pappy Van Winkles from the wholesaler. And it's unreal how it's so cheap it is to the store itself. And then the store puts a $1,500, $2,000 price tag on it. And it's just like, guys, how can you do this? Like, mentally, like, get the product, push the product, get the product out. That would make more sense, right? And you could make some money, like, obviously, but this whole 300-400% markup game is just crazy, and I've never enjoyed it at all. So I actually, what I do for throughout the years now, I don't even chase bourbon anymore. I just chase store picks. So anytime I go to a store, when I travel around the country and when I travel around, I just go in and what store picks do you guys have? Is it Buffalo Trace store picks, a 1792 store picks, and a Jack Daniels barrel proof store pick? You know, I'm a Squire as well, so I look for Jack Daniels everywhere I go, stuff that I can't find here. So, you know, we just try to just find the good deals, because a lot of times if you can find a good store pick in a good profile where you're at, some of these store picks outweigh these bottles that people chase all day long. And that's the thing, like, you know, when you're talking about, you know, you love E.H. Taylor, like, I like E.H. Taylor okay, but it's not my jam, you know? And it's not something that I'm going to go and seek after. I'll buy it if it's available at retail.
I wish to register a complaint.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We all do. But, you know, I love just going and getting them store picks, man. I mean, do you guys get any good store picks out where you guys are at?
A couple plastic bottles of vodka every once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little Grey Goose, some Hennessy, yeah. Maybe.
No, nothing that nice.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Got the boot pints.
Smirnoff.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I just stop chasing, you know? Yeah. Like, if I walk in and I go to a bottle shop, but all the good bottle shops out where I'm at, they've been kind of run out of town. You know, where I live in Ventura, California.
Yeah.
And that's a nice place.
Yeah.
But because it's a nice place, a lot of folks have been coming in, buying up all the land and kind of repurposing it.
You don't say.
Turning it into condos.
Oh, yeah. They don't do that here at all.
There was a great spot, like Old Spirit Club, where I was at. And it's gone now.
Nashville used to be cool, too.
Yeah.
But we're going to take another break here. And then we're going to come back with Kevin Newman with Artistic Cigars and keep talking. Hope you're enjoying it, folks.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation, riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
So we're back with Kevin Newman from Artista Cigars, and we are blind tasting him on I think it's a really good cigar, and I haven't smoked in 2 weeks, and I still love this cigar. Well, what are your thoughts on this thing?
Well, the first third I wasn't really impressed with, but that's probably not the cigar's fault, because, like I said, I smoked a lot of cigars this week. As it's opened up, the burn's gotten really good. It's starting to cone for me. I'm getting a little bit of the cedar, a little bit of citrus, not a whole lot of spice though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good, man.
What's on your retro?
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Mahogany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That spice comes out a little bit more in that retro.
Mahogany and leather. If you can't tell, I'm a little nasally.
Yeah. No, you're nasally? No.
Yeah. It's that big old schnoz, man.
It's like that pug nose you got there. Pug nose. I should see you looking for truffles. That's right. Go get it, Kevin. Go get it.
Oh, yeah. It's the Frenchman in me, man. French-Irish.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day, about your heritage and how we could be related.
We probably are, man.
We probably are, man.
Yeah, family come from the same area.
That's right. It's a small puddle.
It's kind of crazy, man.
You know, fluids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, oh, yeah, we'll get there. Listen, I got a little coaching there from my boss.
Little executive
there.
Producer action.
Yeah, he's telling me, you know, keep talking. So we're going to keep talking. What about this? Your ring gauge on this? What do you think about your girth?
My girth? It's always so sad, man.
That's right.
I gotta spool it up just to get it in.
That's fine.
On the cigar, it's a good cigar. It's a good size. I prefer a Corona size.
See, I'm down. I'm the same, right. Bro. Or like a Petite Lancero is my favorite, but nobody's making them. I mean, that's kind of a kind of one, but you know, yeah. Mike, our executive producer, thinks I'm just the biggest idiot for liking Petite Lanceros.
There's nothing wrong with that, man.
I know it. He's all like, give me
a Robusto.
Sip it
with your mimosa, you know?
Give me a Corona, a Petite Corona. Or do you like them Churchills? Yeah. Yeah. So what would you rate this cigar from 1 to 5 if you had to?
We're going 1 to 5 now.
Yeah, we're going one. We're updating our ranking here at Sips and Smokes with the time here. You know, instead of 1 to 3, it's 1 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah, we're branching out. All those letters are making way. We're going to keep sending them in, folks. At Mike, good old boy Mike, SipSonsAndSmokes.com.
No. You want a full integer, or can I give it to you in fractionals?
You know, let's hear it. Go ahead.
I'll give it a 4.05.
Okay. Yeah, I'm about there, 4 or 5. You know, I think it's a good cigar. Now, can you guess a region from it?
Or no, a country? I'm just not that good with that sort of stuff.
No, yeah, me neither.
Man.
I was hoping you'd wow me.
No, I just...
Make me look like an idiot.
I can tell you sometimes, like, I can look at the wrapper and say, I think that's Broadleaf, or I think that's San Andres.
Yeah.
On this, I'm having a hard time. It might be a Habano, but, man, I would be dumb sounding if I said I knew what I was saying.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Well, let me look this up before I tell you what it is. And I know what it is, but, you know, just so I have all my information right.
It's a little toothy, so it might be San Andres. But again, I'm about to sound real dumb because you're going to tell me it's something totally different.
It's all right. This is what we love to do, to look dumb in the show here, folks. So what's your, should I just go ahead and we'll talk about it there? All right. So what you're smoking is a Tennessee Waltz from Crown Heads.
Uber. Good job.
It's a 5.5x52 Robusto. And this is probably one of the... This is a Tennessee exclusive cigar.
Okay.
You can only buy these in Tennessee. They were part of a 4-cigar line that John Huber did. And when I spoke to him about these, he said this were all had significant relationships. Each cigar had a significant relevance to his relationship with his wife, either where they're both from, where they met, and where they married. So there's 4 of them. One you can only get in Hawaii, which is the Panaloa Especial, and it comes out once a year. The Tennessee Waltz, which also most of these come out once a year. The Texas version is called the Yellow Rose. And, man, I'm telling you, if you have not ate anything that day, don't smoke that cigar.
It's a good cigar. I smoked that.
It is such a good cigar. I love them. And then the Buckeye Land, which I haven't been able to find any more of those lately. So, folks, if you know where you can get them, go ahead and just send me some. I want some Buckeyes.
It's trickery.
So let's look up here, which is binder filler wrappers. So your wrapper is a USA Connecticut Broadleaf. Your binder is Nicaraguan, and your filler is Nicaraguan. Doesn't give me anything other than that, but you know, this is what I would you have ever guessed that this is what you were smoking? Yeah,
that's why we put bands on the cigars,
because
otherwise they're just brown sticks.
Just a brown stick, maybe. But that's what I love about this, man, is that you know, I love to get guys on here and they'd be like, oh, this is the, you know, like Jeremy from Wildfire did our first one of these the other day.
Okay.
Or a month ago, and he was like, I think this is my cigar. This is one that I did, and blah, 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 and starts going off. And I was like, Jeremy, I love you, but, you know, this is a, I forget what it was. Oh, it is a Tatuaje Fausto. Yeah.
That's a good cigar,
dude. And I was like, I guarantee you've smoked very many of these cigars. And he was like, man, I've smoked so many of these cigars, because he used to work in retail as well. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, you get to have another one on me, you know, and it's great. So I actually had another one to blind you with, but I went with this one because I was almost certain you hadn't had it because it's a Tennessee exclusive. So, and they just got them back in here at the Abbey, which is where we're broadcasting from today, Smokers Abbey in East Nashville. Shout out to them for hosting. If you guys get an opportunity, there's four locations. There's one in Austin, Texas, and that the guys that run that shop are amazing. There's one in Memphis. Brad down there is awesome. There's one in East Nashville, which is where we're at right now. And then there's one in Gallatin, Tennessee. And it's actually an old bank. So the bank vault is the humidor with a big steel door and everything. It's pretty sweet.
The Smokers Abbey aesthetic is really cool.
Yeah, it's just chill, man. So their whole vibe is to find rest for your soul. You know, that goes back to, you know, the owner of Smokers Abbey is actually why I live in Nashville. So I actually moved here to be part of his church in 2010 when the flood happened. And it was, man, my life's been so interesting since then. You know, wouldn't take it back for the world. But we just love doing what we're doing, man. And, like, yeah, this is amazing. I hope you're enjoying yourself.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, again, the Smokers Abbey guys have been really fantastic to us, especially here in Nashville.
Yeah.
They took a chance on us a couple years ago, and they've been selling our stuff. And yeah, we're very grateful to them for everything that they can do, even the accommodation here.
Yeah, no, this is big because we were going to do this in my basement, and then, you know, decided this might be a little cleaner. So
such a good choice.
Yeah, it is, you know.
Yeah.
My basement, my dog starts barking, and, you know, can't get him shut up sometimes. You're like, stop it. But he's a good boy. He's a good boy. That's right. But yeah, man. So what are some things that, you know, we talked about alcohol a little bit. We've got a few minutes here. What you know, other than your typical drinks, bourbon, like, you enjoy doing mixology stuff with your drinks, or do you just enjoy neat drinks? Or
most of the stuff I drink is neat. But being from Southern California, we have a lot of craft brew out where I'm at. Between SoCal and NorCal.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my favorite, absolute favorite beers, I can't find anymore. It's Bubble Stash by Hop Valley.
Oh, really?
It's an IPA. It's very good.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. A little citrusy. You can drink a six-pack in an evening. You feel good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a great beer. There's other craft beers that I've been drinking as well, but, you know, I'm getting older. And the weight comes on easier and goes off a lot harder. And with all the road travel I've been doing, shout out to the Holiday Inn because they got those ellipticals in that gym 24/7. I love that.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same, you know. It's not the same as my road bike at home.
The Peloton.
No, I've got a nice Cannondale at the house.
Oh, you ride on the road.
Yeah, that's, you know, you think driving around is dangerous. Get on a bicycle.
Oh, I
especially
imagine.
In Southern California, they do not respect the law.
They don't respect anything.
Yeah, I've been sheared a couple of times, man. It's pretty, it's pretty gnarly. So, a couple of years ago, my wife got me a GoPro, which I mount to the front. It's kind of like an insurance policy in case something happens. And I had one guy get a little weird with me on a road called Foothill, which there's not much shoulder at all, so you have to ride in lane. And he got a little odd and tried brake checking me, which is weird because I got disc brakes on a carbon fiber bike.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know,
I'm going to stop just fine.
I'm 200 pounds. Like, I'm going to leave a skid mark. Anyways, I caught his license plate in full 4K60 and I shot it over to VPD and they talked to him a little bit.
Yeah,
but there's not much they can do. You know, I mean, it's not illegal to be a jerk on the road.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But yeah, I mean, between 18 wheelers and guys in trucks, you know, they just don't know. I mean, you buzz past a guy doing, you know, 25 or 30 miles an hour on a bike and you're doing 60 or 65 in a truck.
Yeah.
That vacuum wash will pull me right into the road, which endangers everybody at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of wild, but I do love it.
I can just see you with the whole
Spandex
with the padded suit, you know, the padded butt with the helmet that goes backwards, and there's
stupid sexy Flanders
riffing it out there. Hadley doodly, Hadley doodly.
I do that.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, when I first started riding, I didn't do that. I wore board shorts and a t-shirt, but you know, your times get a lot better when you get more aerodynamic.
Oh, we're talking times now.
Yeah, well, it starts to become a little bit of an addiction.
Okay, you're gonna have to wean it.
Yeah, so you know, you start looking at your numbers and like, well, I can pick up an extra minute on this circuit of 30 miles. Ooh. If I just wore clothes that were a little bit tighter,
a little aerodynamic.
Yeah, so my kid, God bless her, she got me a Gadsden flag jersey. Okay. So, you know, don't tread on me. And big old yellow flag jersey flying out there.
I love it.
Some guys flip me off as they're going by. I guess those California liberals don't like it when I, you know.
Tread on them?
Well, I don't even tread, man. Like, I'm just promoting my Second Amendment right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's true. I have a nice arsenal at the house. And, you know, I also happen to wear spandex and ride a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you keep it tucked in your spandex?
You know, I wanted to get an LCR for that reason.
Yeah, you should.
You know. Just put it right in the Thunderwear.
That would be awesome.
Just right up front.
Just be like, we got a problem, bro?
Exactly.
That's great.
But, you know, out where I'm at, it's kind of tough to get a CCW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad. But you can always move out here.
That's true. We thought about it.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have a lot of fun.
Can you imagine?
I wouldn't ride bikes with you, but we'd have a lot of fun.
I'd get you going.
Well,
you'd be surprised, man. It's addictive.
You might. But anyway, you know, as all things as our old saying here is, you know, all things in life are worth discussing. So we really like to keep going with that. How are we doing on time, sir? Yeah, we're doing a little good on time. So a couple minutes left before we break for this radio episode, but we'll keep going after that. So if you guys get a chance, if you like what you're listening to and you want to finish this episode up, we'll probably have some more time on our online, so you have to go online and grab that. Sorry for you radio listeners out there, but thank you so much for your support on the radio, because without you guys we're nothing. And you know, we you guys support us wholeheartedly, and we definitely appreciate the love from that. So, but yeah, you know, what's been your favorite thing in Nashville so far, or Mississippi, or?
Well, I can tell you, the music in Nashville is absolutely incredible, and it is pervasive. It's everywhere. When I was here for just 2 days, I was down at the Holiday Inn by Vanderbilt, and they have the Commodore Grill.
Yeah.
Attached to that place.
Yeah.
And I would go down and grab my...
Commodores is the Vanderbilt's team, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Sports ball.
I think it sucks. I think that sucks.
Cavals, what?
And they do a live stage show a couple hours every night. And I mean, I guess that stage is littered with some pretty top-end celebrities, man.
Yeah.
And I believe it, because the sound setup is pretty good. The sound stage looks... Yeah. Amazing. They got lighting, the whole thing, and you sit down, you order your beer, and you can watch a live performance, and they rotate them out every 30 minutes. And they do it 7 days a week, and it's pretty incredible. Just the music in this town. And,
yeah.
I love that, because I love music.
Yeah, the one thing we're not missing in Nashville is live music. It is everywhere, every hotel bar, everywhere that can have a stage has a stage, and even some places that shouldn't have a stage have stages. But, you know, that's pretty indicative of where we are. But we got some top shelf talent here, man. And a lot of it's in house bands, actually, which is crazy, because you get a lot of these old studio artists and they do house band stuff. And that's, you know, that's their bread and butter. But anyway, you know, we'd like to thank Kevin Newman for coming out and having a chat with us. Did you enjoy yourself?
I appreciate you, man. I really do. And I always have a good time with you.
Yeah. Anything you want to say to our listeners before we sign off on this one?
I just want to say thank you so much. See if you can find a Psycho 7 out there on the shelf, but definitely pick up some Artista.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And you know, everything in life worth good is worth discussing. I'm horrible at this today. Thanks a lot, Bronchitis. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is good old boy Barker telling you to keep smoking. And hope you guys have a good evening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your hosts, the good old boys, will see you all next time.